Blog Talk Radio.
Around the corner. I think baseball, I think shortstop. I think shortstop, I think short guys. I think short guys, I think Dom Ginta. Okay? It all ties into one another right here. Think about it, okay? If I could make any major league shortstop look taller, imagine what I could do with a guy like Dom Ginta. When I'm done, this guy's going to look like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Trust me on this one, huh?
I'm an assistant greenskeeper. They say that doesn't mean anything, you know, until I'm the head greenskeeper.
Can you give me a ruling on this?
Oh, sit down. Come on.
No, I don't want to stick to anything in here.
Well, here, take this thing off. This is dirty.
Don't go to too much trouble.
Well, guys, I'm not going to do much more than that. Hold on a second. I'm just killing my telephone. Yep, this is a special edition of Hard Rockin' Sports here live on a Wednesday evening in your homes, in your on your phones, in your cars. Jeff and I want to bring Jeff right up. I'm not going to do a whole big thing. Hefe, you there?
Yes, sir.
Welcome. What's up, Hefe? I know you're home alone, and we're trying to keep you busy so you don't get in any trouble.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But listen, I could get in trouble in front of 1,000 people. I could get in trouble alone. It just doesn't matter. It's just me.
It's very true. It is so true. But, guys, I don't know how many of you are out there listening today, or maybe you'll listen tomorrow or later on when I post this show. But Jeff and I got so pumped up with all the free agent happenings that we thought, what the hell, let's do a little pregame for tomorrow night, which I'm sure, Jeff, at this point, the show will be kind of overwhelmed with NFL news and notes that we've been going over. What do you think? You think that'll be the dominating thing tomorrow night?
I realized that this year, and you're right, tomorrow is going to be a big show, but there was so much to talk about, and we figured we might as well talk it over on the radio so that maybe somebody will listen. But this off season so far has been extremely interesting to me. And, I mean, I just can't believe some of the moves that happened. And, you know, it makes the draft that much more interesting than it already was, because some holes have been filled and a lot of teams have been moving up, and some free agents went to some places where we didn't expect, and it just everything looks different than it did a couple days ago.
Yeah, it's a completely different NFL right now than it was 2 or 3 days ago. And let's start with the easiest question. What's the biggest surprise so far for you?
Sam Bradford going to Arizona.
Yeah, well,
I didn't see that, but it happened.
Yeah, I got a couple. The Case Keenum kind of surprised me. I thought that might be a place he would go. I didn't think Elway would. I thought he was looking for hold on a second. Phone callers, but if you want to listen, but I'm sorry, I'm just answering. If you want to listen in. Anyway, it's kind of a big gamble for Elway, don't you think, Jeff? In the sense that, you know, after the last couple of years of Brock Osweiler and Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch, You know, I would have thought he would have went for more of a sure thing. Don't you think?
Man, you know what, Tom? You got a good point there. Only because, like you said, it was they kind of missed out a couple years in a row. And,
yeah.
You know, you would think Elway, with the quarterback pedigree that he has, would be able to spot a good quarterback in the dark. He's missed a couple of years in a row with Osweiler, Simeon, Paxton Lynch, which I guess that experiment is over, unless they're going to keep him to try to bring him along a little further with somebody else. But you're right. I didn't see that one coming at all either myself.
Yeah, but I tell you the truth. Here's my biggest surprise out of this so far, and it's still very early. I mean, people are just able to start signing. You just start seeing the announcements. I mean, a lot of Tyrann Mathieu from Arizona got released, the Honey Badger, really good defensive back, probably in his prime. Ndamukong Suh got released, tons of trades. But the biggest surprise to me, Jeff, is none of that. It's a contract, and it's a simple one. Cousins getting a guaranteed $84 million. And that's, in the sense, it's not the money that's huge. It's the guarantee. Normal contracts would be, you know, 3 years, $84 million, 50 guaranteed. You know, nobody's giving out totally guaranteed money at this point. And yet he, you know, and realistically, a better than average journeyman type quarterback just got the motherload. He just changed the NFL landscape. Dude.
Yeah, well, you know, Tom, this is how desperate some teams are for quarterbacks. I guess it shows, you know, just how much they're putting in this position that, I mean, I don't think, I wouldn't call him a journeyman yet because he's only on
no.
a second team.
But, no,
but
a journeyman
I understand
type,
what you're saying. But, mm-hmm. I mean, if the Redskins gave up on him, did they know something or feel something about him? I think that he's, at this point in time, he's not an elite quarterback in this league, but he's a very good quarterback in this league. But now he's on a team where we're going to see just what he could do. Can he get Minnesota to the next step? We're going to find that out next year. But, yeah, they certainly paid a lot of money for him, so he better do something for them.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's you know, I think we all knew he's probably the best of the free agent bunch. I mean, considering, you know, the biggest talk so far of quarterback signings are Josh McCown going back to the Jets. Like you said, Sam Bradford going to the Cardinals. And Teddy Bridgewater going to the Jets, which I'll get to and see what you think. I'll give you my opinion. You know, he was the best of the bunch. But the fact that, first off, the amount of money, it's nearly, you know, $27 million, $28 million a year, huge money. But to have it all guaranteed,
yeah.
It just doesn't happen in the NFL. And now, you know, guys like, you know, and it's hard for me to use Odell Beckham. We're going to save Odell Beckham for tomorrow night because I don't think that's something we should get into tonight, if you don't mind. But, you know, there are a lot of
other guys.
No,
this is all about free agency tonight, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but there's so many guys that you know, are going to be free agents. You know, like you wonder some of these guys, you know, and I didn't really prepare to that extent yet, but – you know, if you really think about it, some of these guys who are going to get big money, now it's not only do I want a lot of guaranteed money, but I want it all guaranteed. And teams are going, you know, the precedent's been set, and I think that's the big thing here.
The precedent may have been set for next year with Cousins, but here's the thing, Tom. If a lot of these teams start signing these guys to guaranteed money and then they fail, okay, or they just don't play up to expectations, you know, whatever the case is, they get injured. The whole thing of guaranteed money, I don't think you're going to see it last very long.
You're
it's
right.
It's a risky proposition.
100%. If he goes out and plays well, yes. If he goes out and he spits the bit or he gets hurt, which would really be worse, because that's going to then at that point, most teams will say, look what happened to them. And you know, now they went from a team with three starting quarterbacks on their roster. They've purged them all and actually traded for Trevor Siemian.
The Vikings?
Yeah, the Vikings. It hasn't been finalized, But the deal is in place, and they're waiting for the announcement. But the Vikings, because they have no other quarterback on their roster but Cousins now. So they had to go out and get a quarterback. So they went out and traded for Trevor Siemian.
Wow. I didn't even see that. And I was on ESPN maybe about an hour ago.
Yeah, it's very, 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 very new. I saw it. I did see it on ESPN.com. I didn't see it on NFL.com yet, but I got the NFL show up on my screen. And, you know, to me, that's the biggest thing out of this. You hit it right on the head, Jeff. The biggest question mark right now is Kirk Cousins, if he doesn't live up to this, not only will it kill the Minnesota Vikings in salary cap money, but they've set a bad precedent. And, you know, basically, you know, even though I think it's going to fail, I mean, even if it failed, I think the precedent's been set, and I think future starters are going to want, you know, a few future free agents are going to want that kind of deal. And I think it's – look at this one. Cardinals signed Mike Glennon to a two-year deal. Man, Mike Glennon last year was going to be the star of Chicago, and now he's got a two-year, $8 million deal with the Cardinals to back up Case Keenum. Wow.
Yeah, wow, it was right. I mean, that's a lot of money. And, you know, I don't even think he saw the field last year with Chicago.
First couple of games didn't play real well, and then they got Trubisky in there early. But let's not get into that stuff. I'm sorry I brought it up. I just saw it pop up on the screen. But, you know, those are the biggest ones, Jeff. I think we hit them right. I was surprised 1 year, $20 million for Bradford. To go there, I thought that was an odd, just a one-year deal. Really kind of surprised. But you said it, fragile. And I think because of that, that's why.
Listen, I mean, Bradford could get hurt at any time. We know this. His career has shown this many, many times over. The money is big, but I like the one-year deal because if he gets hurt, you're done with him, and you don't have to deal with him the following year. The money is a lot, but you know something, Tom? In today's quarterback market, is it a lot of money?
No, not
Think
at all.
About that.
No, not at all. And I'll give you another one.
I'm not going to say he's a bargain, but $20 million isn't that much money.
No, it's not, Jeff. You're absolutely right. Theoretically, he's a better quarterback than Case Keenum. I won't say he's a better quarterback than Cousins, but he's had better success than Cousins, I think, on a team level. So yeah, I and those guys are getting close to $30 million. So yeah, I would agree with that. I think the bigger one, another one's a big surprise for me, and it's not, but it is the Saints 2 years, $50 million, all guaranteed to bring back Drew Brees. And here's why I'm surprised, Jeff. And I know you're a huge Drew Brees fan, but I would have thought at this point he would have gave them the hometown discount, figuring this is his last deal. Maybe he gives them, you know, $20 million and gives them that extra $10 million to kind of sign other players. I mean, don't you think at this point he's made his money?
Well, you know, Tom, I don't know how much you make a year, but I do okay for myself. And if my boss came up to me and said, listen, we want to give you an additional $20,000 a year, I wasn't going to turn around and say no. Okay. So I would imagine when you're dealing with millions of dollars like these guys are getting, if the money's there, you're going to take it. And I can't say that I blame him, because even at $25 million, he's still not getting the league-type money.
No,
you know
listen, I agree. He's absolutely worth it. Don't take it the wrong way. He's definitely a 25. If you're anything,
oh,
no, any
no.
Of those guys, 25.
Listen, a 39-year-old quarterback at $25 million a year for 2 years, and I don't know if that contract is guaranteed.
Yeah,
you know, you're talking, he's going to be on the team until he's 41 years old. Just think of that, a 41-year-old quarterback.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
listen, he played
that
really
to
well.
Me is
you,
more
you,
than anything.
Yeah, again, I don't think it's – I don't think I question whether he's worth it. I just question the 49ers are signing everybody. Holy cow. The 49ers, the Jets. Boy, a lot of action in San Francisco, boy. You know, I just – like I said, I just question the fact that – you know, at this point, could he have taken a little less and went out there and give them some room? I don't know what the salary cap the salary cap room is if you're a Saints guy, but I just thought maybe take a little less. But, you know, no, didn't happen. And, you know, again, a good signing. I mean, some other stuff. Let's see. Let's talk about the Jets a little bit. I want to get to the Jets first before we do the Giants, because the Giants made a couple of moves. The Jets are all in.
I expected the Giants to do a little bit more. And I was kind of disappointed to see that. I don't want to say they're sitting tight, but they seem to be purging. And I don't know what their plan is. I don't know if you know what their plan is, but if I was a Giant fan, I'd be a little worried.
Well, listen, what you knew they wanted was an offensive lineman in the free agency. They don't have a ton of money. I believe they only started this thing with $30 million to spend. And they have to, you know, obviously keep some of that money to sign their rookies. They want to bring back some of their own. They have 19 unrestricted free agents. They brought back a couple of their unrestricted free agents. But I didn't expect them to make a big splash. I have to be honest, I didn't think so. I thought they had to come out of here with a lineman. They targeted the guy from the Norwell from the Panthers. He went to the Jaguars, but they did get Nate Solder from the Patriots, which, again, not a great player, Jeff, but a really good player. They overpaid, but they got a guy who's kept Tom Brady pretty healthy for 7 years.
You're right, Tom. A decent lineman, but. Here's my issue with what they did. He's a little bit older for a lineman. I mean, I know that they're at a – he still has several years left in him, but I believe he's 30 years old. So you're talking maybe 4 or 5 good seasons left in him. And I understand that's a lot, but if you were going to start revamping your team, don't you think you would want to get as young as possible at this point in time?
But the problem is that in free agency – there was only 2 or 3 really, and again, I don't think any of these guys are top level, but I think him, the kid, the guard out of the Panthers who went to the Jags, were 2 of the best guys that are out there. So you could have signed somebody for a little less money, but I don't think it would have made the impact that they needed. They needed a top flight tackle, and I think Solder's the best of the bunch. He's done a good job so far. I don't know what the full deal is. I know you got $62 million. I don't know if it's 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years. I'm assuming it's probably 4 years, $62 million. But it could be a 5-year deal. But, again, I did not come into this expecting the Giants to make the splash. The Giants are going to get some low-level guys. Jonathan Stewart was a nice pickup. You know, guy who's a dependable back at the end of his career. Goal line, short yardage. They've had a tough time with. And I thought that was a nice, decent move. Didn't spend a lot of money there. It comes down to the Giants. It comes down to the draft. You know, it's opposite in the other locker room, Jeff. But for the Giants, it comes down to the draft.
I hear you, Tom. But you know something? If they could have released Manning and saved most of his salary against the cap, I think they might have been better off doing that or trying to trade him and maybe start the youth movement. I mean, I understand they want to be loyal to Eli, and I think that's really nice of them. That's really cool. But you're dealing with a quarterback that's closing in on 40, and you're adding some pieces where if you don't revamp that team now, you're going to have to do it in another year or so anyway. So do you think that being you got that new general manager, that maybe it would have been a smarter idea to say, you know what, whatever we do now, we're probably not getting close to the playoffs anyway, and maybe try to go younger and start building for the future more solid that way?
Well, again, yes. Here's my only problem with the thing is you have to be sold that one of these quarterbacks in the draft is the right guy. I understand your point about Eli. I don't think they were going to cut Eli. He's still guaranteed a lot of money out of what's left. You know, I don't think it would have made that big a deal. You know, I think – What I kind of expected them was to go into Eli and get him to redo his deal, make it a third year or a four-year deal and stretch it out a little bit. That way, you know, they can get some salary cap relief, and maybe they still will. But Eli's never seemed to be that guy who would do that for them in this day and age. So they've done that with a lot of guys. They tried to do it with Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. He wouldn't renegotiate. He's gone. Justin Pugh's gone. You know, a lot of guys who – I expected to come back or not. So I think they are trying to get young Jeff. I just don't think the one spot that they could make that decision was at quarterback. And I think if you got a guy like Eli, who is a known commodity, again, I think at this point, I think you got to go into the year with Eli. So I think I hope I answered your question that way.
Well, you know, yeah, of course. I mean, but you got to look at it from all sides. I mean, that's our job here.
Yeah.
On Hard Rock and Sports is to try to analyze as best we can.
Yeah.
But the thing, too, if I was Eli, knowing how that all transpired during the season,
mm-hmm.
would I be so quick to take a pay cut if I knew I was guaranteed this money regardless? I think I would have turned around, and this is your way of maybe making the Giants sweat a little bit.
Oh, I agree. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that
I mean,
at all.
Not for nothing. He has to know that this year it doesn't look like much is going to happen. I think the Jets might have leapfrogged the Giants with the moves they made so far.
Oh, I would agree with that, yeah.
I don't think that the Giants are going to do much this year other than, you know, continue to rebuild for the future. That
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't budge off my contract if I was him.
No, I don't disagree. I just kind of expected. Now, Jeff, I know you kind of wanted to keep it, but there are a few people on the line, quite a few, as a matter of fact, surprisingly. Do you want to give everybody a minute or two just to kind of hear what they have to say, and then we'll just go through them real quick? Or do you want to just keep
it? Let's do it.
All right, let's get through. I see. Let's do Mike. He's been up longest. Mike Passamonte, the host of Pass the Mic, starting on March 28th, is joining Hard Rock and Sports for a little special edition. What's up, Michael?
What's up, guys? How you doing? Jeff, it's all right.
What's
I called
up,
this week, right? I know you probably want Harry on the treadmill after last week. Is it all right I call?
Yes. I didn't hear.
I got that one. I got to explain it to you.
He's
so
Michael, he's breaking up.
Mike, Jeff, Mike, talk now. See if Jeff can hear you. Go, Mike.
Can you hear me, Jeff?
Yeah, I can hear you a little bit better now.
All right, so Michael, give me a couple quick impressions this early in the free agent signings.
I agree with you 100% on that Cousins signing. I mean, a guaranteed, fully guaranteed contract. Honestly, I'm glad that he didn't even go near the Jets. I'm glad, because if they would have given him that guaranteed contract, you don't know what's going to happen. This guy isn't, you know, I mean, he's the best of what was out there, but you're not getting Aaron Rodgers. You don't know how he's going to fit on your team. And for them to, especially the Vikings, who have no cap room, to guarantee him all this money is going to mean they're going to have to cut talent on their team that's around them. And it's not like they've been good for 5 years. They had one good year. Who knows how that's going to affect them and their bottom line. Yes, I totally agree with you there. I think that was a terrible signing. Terrible.
I think the Vikings are banking on the talent that they already have on that team to carry them for a year or so.
$30 million in cap room to begin with, and they gave him $28 million. They say at least one of the wide receivers is gone. A couple of the – they already got rid of what was it, the safety went to the Broncos or the cornerback? So
well,
they're going to have to cut some of that talent now just to fit Cousins in. Doesn't
yeah,
make
they,
a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, McKinnon's gone now. I mean, it's again, I understood it. I would have given 4 years and just stretched it out over the last year. Anything but to, even if you want to guarantee, I just don't know how you gave yourself no relief, and he gets hurt or plays badly, like Jeff said before, Mike, this is a terrible contract. Oh my God, it's a killer contract.
And it's completely possible that he's going to play badly. You don't know.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
He's going
absolutely.
To a different
Listen,
team.
Before
he's
you know, he
okay.
wanted a three-year deal to see a way. He's a free agent again at 33. He could sign another big contract somewhere else if he does good in Minnesota.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, he got all his money. You don't have to sign a 4 or 5 year deal now. It's a great move by Cousins. The NFL Players Association should have a statue in front of their building. Think about it. He got 3 years.
He's already made over $100 million in his career.
Oh yeah,
and he's only 30 years old.
He got franchised for 2 straight years or 3 straight years in Washington.
I think three straight years.
Big money.
I mean, he made his money. This wasn't even about that. I mean, he's either got the best agent ever or he's really smart because this guy's making his money.
Yeah, listen. At this point, Jeff, you're right. In 3 years, he can get another deal. But to me, That guy's going to have made almost $200 million in at the end of 3 years from now.
I hear you, dude. It's an incredible amount of money. Amount of money he's got.
Think about this. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, a guy like Kirk Cousins, who's, again, a good, solid quarterback so far, albeit his stats aren't, his record isn't great. Here's a guy who's going to make $200 million, maybe better than $200. At 33, he could get another big deal. This guy could be a $300 million player by the time he's done. That's insane.
For what he's done, it's insane. But it shows you, and you see this year, how people need teams just need quarterbacks, and they'll do almost anything to get them. I mean, we always talk about that, and I don't agree with it at all. I think that, a lot of the teams, you mentioned Bradford, you mentioned the Jets. I think those are smart signings, doing it for 1 year, just to see how the guy is. You have the franchise tag. Why not sign a guy for 1 year, $20 million, $10 million, whatever you're paying him, and if he does well, he's playing for a contract. You either sign him for a contract or you start franchising him and you pay him like these $27 million quarterbacks. I don't understand what the Vikings were thinking. I can't understand it. Is he that much better than what they had?
I don't know. I don't know, Michael. I don't know, but it's an odd signing to give him that much money guaranteed. And here's what they were trying to do. And either one of you guys can, or both of you guys can chime in on it. To me, they were going to overwhelm him. They didn't want him to talk to anybody else. He didn't want to negotiate. They just said, we need him. We need to get this done and move on. Because think about it. Had they not, had they not signed him, what was the next option? Trying to re-sign one of their guys who basically all were gone or all going?
Options are slim.
Yeah, so I think they went out there and said, this is the best of the bunch. We got a 28th, 29th, 30th pick in the draft. We got no option, no chance of getting one of the top without making a trade. They went out and overwhelmed them. So I think that. But, Mike, before too long, because there's other people hanging, let me ask you about your Jets. I was a little torn at first, but I came around. I love what they did day one. I think they've made some really smart moves. I'm not crazy about Isaiah Crowell, but only because of the personal stuff. But Tremaine Johnson, obviously getting Bridgewater, I think is going to be a really interesting thing for them. But let me ask you after that, both of you guys answer this one, and Mike, you go first. Do the Jets still sign a quarterback? And do the Jets take a quarterback at six now?
They absolutely have to. These two guys, they got a Band-Aid. They're just trying to throw stuff against the wall and see if it sticks. They have to get a quarterback. And I think, honestly, we'll talk about it, as the draft comes closer, but I think they're going to trade up and get a quarterback. I think they're going to number three and they're going to get a quarterback. Because you don't know what Bridgewater is. He could be good. You know McGown is going to be a Dolphin. So he's not the answer. So you have to draft the quarterback, 100%.
By the way, the Bills agreed to a 2-year deal with A.J. McCarron. So the Bills are very active. We'll get to more of that tomorrow night on the regular edition. I like A.J. McCarron. Had since college at Alabama. I don't know why he didn't get more of a look the last couple of years with Cincinnati, but we'll get to that a little bit more tomorrow night. But Jeff, your thoughts? The Jets, they're going to have to draft a quarterback in the thing, or could you see them go a different way?
I think they're going to have to draft a quarterback. I think I like the signing of Teddy Bridgewater because if he pans out and he's healthy, they could have a young quarterback, whether he stays as a backup or he wins the number one spot. He's got age on his side. He's a manageable quarterback, so I don't think that it was a bad signing. I think it's one of their better signings. And he's hoping that they strike it rich. I think they're going to try to go after Baker Mayfield, it seems. They seem really interested in him.
I do see that. I know Mike likes that more than probably I do, but here's what I'd like about it, and I think, Jeff, you hit it good for me, is by if the Bridgewater thing works out as a young quarterback, you could reach for one of those guys who isn't ready right now. You don't have to get Darnell or Rosen. Theoretically, I got to tell you, if I was a Jets and Josh Allen were there, I would think seriously about that with a young, healthy quarterback like Bridgewater. If he panned out, that would be a stretch, but a good one, because I think he's got the most upside of any of these quarterbacks. But I do agree with you, Jeff. I think they're leaning on Mayfield, leaning toward Mayfield based on what I've seen and read.
Yeah, everything that I've seen, they're going to visit him. They're bringing him in. I heard that they want to come in again and look at him at his own one of his personal workouts. They want a private workout with him. So it seems as though that's who they're looking for now. I wouldn't be surprised if they make the trade up.
Mike, give me and I agree with both of you. I do think they're going to want to try to trade up to the Colts spot. I think the Colts need help all over the place, and they'll take as many picks as they can get. Giants expect to sign Nate Solder 4 years, $62 million, $35 million guaranteed over the first 2 years. Good, I like it. Mike, give me your thoughts on the Jets so far. So let's see, hold on. Tremaine Johnson, Isaiah Crowell, Avery Williamson, and Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater all signed so far. What do you think?
What I love about it is that they're not doing what they did 3 years ago. Remember when they signed Fitzpatrick, they signed Revis again, they signed Brandon Marshall. They're not going for the established older guys that are coming off their second contract. They're getting young guys. They're getting guys that are just coming off their first contract. They're overpaying. The cornerback, they gave the richest contract they've ever given. They're trying to get young talent, and I love it. And as far as what they did with the quarterbacks, if you look 2 years ago, what the Eagles did, they traded for Bradford, they signed them, whatever they did, they signed Chase Daniels, and then they drafted Carson Wentz. And they just hoped one of them would pan out and Wentz would be the future. I think that's what the Jets are doing. They get two quarterbacks, that whichever, they don't care which one plays well, as long as one of them plays well, and they're going to draft the quarterback and develop them for the future. So I love what they're doing so far. And
yeah,
I don't think they're even.
No, I agree.
I got
still have money to spend.
I got a question for Mike, Tom.
Go ahead.
Mike, the way that they're going and they're getting younger, it's quite evident that they're trying to get younger. Does this buy McCagnan Bowles an extra year if they don't make the playoffs this year or go 6-10, 7-9?
It doesn't buy Bowles anytime. I would say McCagnan gets another year. If they're terrible this year, I'd say McCagnan might get another year and that'll be it. Everyone will know he's on the block. I think if they don't have a winning record, and I'll say maybe even playoffs this year after spending this much money, I think Bowles is gone. I'd be surprised if he lasts the end of the season if he doesn't have a good season.
Yeah, but I think they're tied together. I do, and only because I don't think you can go through another, bring in another GM or bring another coach in and then have a chance you're going to release your GM the following year and then have a new GM come in and have him tied to it. I think these two guys are tied together. And I think that
But he didn't hire him. Remember, he didn't hire him.
I got you.
Year, but you did not hire him.
I got you, but I also think it's you run into that Itzig thing where Itzig comes in and instead of getting to pick his own coach, he's stuck with the it's kind of
right.
In reverse, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think that's the tough part because now let's say this doesn't pan out and 2 years from now you want to get rid of McCagnan, now you just hired another coach and now you're going to ask another GM to come in with a coach established. So I just think it's a bad pattern. I think if Bowles, it depends on the bad year. If Bowles has a lot of bad coaching decisions and that impacts it, yes, I agree with Jeff. I think he can go. If it's players that are just bad and it just doesn't come together, I think both of them are on their way out. I don't think this buys them anything.
I think they bought themselves some time, man, simply because if they're showing that they're getting younger and the team improves slightly, and I mean, if they end up 7-9, I think that they're going to be given a little leeway because if they're building something and you see it's going in the right direction, why not give them the extra year? What is it going to hurt?
But I
after
agree.
Five wins last year, is seven wins the right direction? I mean, I don't think that you're going to see that.
I think it all comes down to how you win and lose your games. If you go 7-9 or even if you go 6-10, but you're in a bunch of the games and you lose at the last minute and you have a couple of bad plays go against you, then you say this is a team that's building. If you go out there and get hammered, for your 10 losses, I think it says it's a little different. So again, you can be 5-10, 5-11, 6-10, but you can feel the team getting better. And I think that's what you saw with the Jets last year, Mike. I know we joked about them winning only five games, but they were a much better team from the previous year.
Right. Well, that's my point. They got to that point already. They already got to the point where they went young last year, and then they won the five games. How many times are you going to put up with that? Now they're adding $90 million in payroll and a couple of draft picks. I think you're right, though. I think it's how they play.
Correct.
If they get Mayfield, and they put Mayfield wins the job and goes through as a rookie the whole year, then I think they get leeway.
Yeah.
Then I think they get leeway.
Correct. If you go
with
McCown,
if goes out and lights it up and they still lose, Bowles is gone. He's gone.
Yeah,
I don't care how that happens.
I agree with that scenario. If they wind up going with the young quarterback, which let me both ask you this. I'll ask you both this. I know we're stretching this out, but I'm having fun with this little segment here. If you go out and you move up in the draft for any reason, and you get the third pick for any reason, and you draft your quarterback, do you start him right away, even with McCown and them?
No, I wouldn't. This is their plan. I think their plan is to draft a quarterback number three. I think they're going to move up, and that's why they signed these two guys. So that, listen, I don't think that they signed these two guys thinking that either one of them is going to play the whole season. I think that they hope one of them could start out, you know, like Kurt Warner, Peyton Manning type situation, where it starts out the season, and then no matter what the record, midway through the season, as soon as they see the quarterback's ready, they throw him in.
Yeah, I you know, it's a great scenario, and I tell you what, so far, I'm impressed. Jeff, you said it before. I definitely agree with it. The Jets have leapfrogged over the Giants as the better team in New York right now on paper. You still got to play the games out there. And I'll tell you this. Watch out for Buffalo. That's going to be a really good division right now. I don't know about the Pats, but I think the Jets are a definite shot for a wild card this year. You know, it's still the Pats, and it's still going to manage on how well the quarterbacks play. But the Jets are a team to watch right now with these signings.
I agree.
Yeah, so we'll see
what
happens.
I think that New England is weakened. I mean, they lost what's that receiver? Not Edelman, the other guy.
They lost Amendola. They lost Danny Amendola. But you know,
they lost their lineman.
Here's the thing about
Jeff. They're on their fifth different team that Belichick has had.
Exactly.
He's been losing guys since 2001. Until they lose, I am never going to believe that they're going to lose.
Yeah, I just think that no matter who you – I mean, right now they signed Rex Burkhead. Jeff.
I'm not saying they're going 8-8, but I don't see them running away with the division at 14-2 either this year.
I hear what Jeff's saying. Right now they haven't really made a big move in – they've lost Solder, who was, I would say, above average, competent tackle for 7 years. So I want to say Deion Lewis, I think, is left already. There's a bunch of this. But they are getting that Edelman back next year. So Edelman will be back. Hopefully Gronkowski's back. But Mike, to Mike's point, I think until it happens, I just have to assume that they'll go get three or four guys off the scrap heap and turn the team back into the best team in the division.
I mean, Tommy, you know, Corey Dillon, Randy Moss, you know, Deion Branch. These are the guys that started this dynasty. And the kids now that they're cutting or trading were in high school when this started. They turn over their team every couple of years. I see them not win. They're going to win 12 games next year. They're going to win 12 games. No matter what. I don't care who it is. If his name's not Brady, they're going to win.
All right, we'll see how it plays out. Jeff, you want to add anything before we, because I've been holding on to other callers. Let me move on real fast.
Yeah, you know, I hate to admit it, but you know what, Mike, I hear what you're saying, but as a Jet fan, you have to have hope that it ends sooner or later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's all
every
I can
year,
say.
Every year they have that bad loss week two or week three, and we all say it's over, and then they go on the run. They can make the Super Bowl, but all right, I don't want to take up too much of your time,
Michael. We'll be on tomorrow night. Everybody, don't forget March 28th, the premiere of the first, Offspring, the Pass the Mike show with Mike Passamonte, starting on March 28th, and I'll get you some more information, guys, on that. Michael put some stuff up on Facebook, and we'll get some stuff on the website for it. But make sure, but Mike, we're on tomorrow night doing this again. If you want to come on back,
I'll be there if you'll put me on. I know you got a lot of good new callers like Harry. And I love Harry.
From the gym.
I'm not busting Harry's balls.
Harry's listening right.
Harry from the gym. Jeff, Harry's new favorite caller. Yeah, and Jeff, by the way, I love when you do math, Jeff. I love when you do math. Can you please do it once today? I love you, man. You should have a segment. Jeff's Math Corner. But all right, guys. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Michael. Thanks for calling. All right, so Jeff, let's get back to it, man. We got plenty to talk about tonight. Again, special edition of Hard Rocket Sports. Only got about another maybe half hour. We got too many things to do to set up for tomorrow night's show. So Jeff, let's focus in on some of the different things. Danny Amendola winds up in Miami. They released Ndamukong Suh. They've they traded Jarvis Landry. You know, serious step back there. The Bills. Trade away Tyrod Taylor, but they made a bunch of moves. You know, they just signed AJ McCarron. You know, the division is definitely catching up to the Patriots, I think, a little bit right now.
It is. But I mean, you know, they also, you got to remember two defensive pieces have left that division as of right now with Muhammad Wilkerson and now Sue no longer on the Dolphins, and who knows where he's going to sign. And I just wanted to shift over to that real quick since you brought it up.
Sure.
What do you think about this, all of a sudden, all of these defensive linemen that were once dominant players or thought to be dominant players now being like free agents and cut with Wilkerson, he's going to Green Bay. Where is Sue going to go? And would Sue get released? Does this thin the market out for Sheldon Richardson?
Yeah, well, I think what it's kind of showing you is that, you know, all these – I think the days of the second tier, Muhammad Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson's getting the big money, I think are going bye-bye. I think the people are starting to pay the corners more money, pay more attention to the defensive backs and linebackers. I think unless you're an edge rusher who's going to get double-digit sacks, I don't think you're going to see the big money to those guys. I think what you're seeing is – you know, look at Sue. I mean, I think in the last 3 years with the big contract he got, at the time he's had 15 sacks in 3 years. I mean, that's –
yeah,
he's
done nothing. And, you know, you say about the big contracts, if they keep getting giving quarterbacks monster, huge, guaranteed contracts, there's going to be a ripple-down effect on the other positions, and some of these guys aren't going to be happy.
Well, again, we've talked about this so many times, and I know I'm a big proponent of it, is at some point you can't give one guy on your team all that money because you're just not leaving yourself enough you know, you're giving a guy $30 million of your $170 million 53-man roster who you have to keep money for players coming in and out. So it's not that simple. And I think you're right. At some point, I think teams are going to go back to the you – know, the problem is, Jeff, I was just going to say they're going to start paying the middle range. They're paying the middle range guys now $30 million a year. When does it stop?
Well, you know when it's going to stop, Tom? When these guys get into their fifth and sixth year. Because teams are going to go – they're going to sign these guys, and they're going to sign them to their rookie contracts. And then when the last year of their rookie contracts come up, they're going to maybe franchise these guys for a year or so, and then they're going to cut ties with them, and they're going to go after another guy. And I think what it's going to do in the long run is it's either going to, A, bring up the talent level because they're going to have no choice but to become better football players if they want to have some longevity in the league, and two, a lot of these guys, you may not see them anymore in the league once they get into their sixth to seventh year, because maybe nobody's going to want to pay them.
Yeah, great point. I think at this point, that Rams signed Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters Wednesday. You know, the thing with I think now, Jeff, is you're going to start to see more emphasis on your draft choices and not just the first and second rounders, but I think all of them being more guys who are going to have to make an impact sooner. Teams are going to want to keep more of those guys to be able to pay your top-level guys and have the bottom of the roster basically being paid the bare minimum.
Yeah, of course. It's gonna happen.
Yeah. I think that secondary player is in danger.
You're right, but a lot of these teams are not going to want to sign these guys to their second contract.
Correct.
They're
going to
want
to
make it worse.
100%. 100%.
And then
you're right.
Somebody else's problem.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. That's going to be the big thing is, you know, I think the amount of guys, and I like to check it somehow. I don't know how I can do it, but I'm going to have to see if I can. I'll make it a note. How many guys each year get second contracts? You know, how many guys up for their second contract actually get it or get released? I can look at the Giants and two guys on their team that they had were up for it right off the bat, guys who were big players for them, Pugh and Richburg, both got released. So I think,
well,
yeah.
Look at Odell Beckham now.
Yeah.
Look at his second contract. Now with the video that just surfaced of him, we don't know. He's trying to say that it's old news from a few years ago, which nobody really believes that. But let's just say that it's a new video, and now the Giants, they have next year he'll be a free agent. What do you do with him? Do you trade him now and get something for him and just say, listen, we got a second-round pick for him and let him go and let him be somebody else's problem because, one, he's turning into an issue. He now has an injury history, and he's going to be commanding so much money that we can't afford it. We can't pay it. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that happen around the league.
Yeah, I do. And I think when it comes to Beckham, and we'll go into detail tomorrow night, but I said it months ago, I would have traded him. The problem with Beckham, if this was the one thing, you would go, all right, you know, listen, he's strong, he's young, no big deal. But when you add up all the off-the-field stuff, it's starting to get to the point where it's not worth the on-the-field stuff. And the problem in the locker room, I got to be honest with you, if I'm the Giants, the problem is 2 weeks ago, you probably could have got maybe somebody, you know, maybe somebody like the Patriots who have the 30th pick or 31st pick to give up a first-round draft choice for him because it's basically a second-round pick anyway to get Odell Beckham. Think about, you know, if you're Bill Belichick and you can get Odell Beckham for a first-round pick, you got to make that move. Who are you going to draft in that spot that's better than Odell? But right now, with that video, nobody's giving you better than this. Probably a late second, maybe a third-round pick for him. That's the problem.
Dude, let me tell you something. Belichick would probably not even touch that guy. He would laugh if the Giants called and made that offer to him, only because you don't see that happen with players up in New England. But you know what? While I got the floor for a second, I want to switch gears on you because I like to keep you off balance.
Go ahead.
Okay? Now I'm going to ask you, you're the owner for the Minnesota Vikings, and you just gave out a fully guaranteed contract. Okay, well, actually, let's switch that up. I'm the owner for the Vikings, and I just gave out that fully guaranteed contract to Kirk Cousins. Now, you're another owner for another team. Are you mad at me for that?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. Yes, you changed the NFL, Jeff. I'm telling you, it's going to sound crazy now, but you're going to hear teams coming out. You're going to hear big people on TV saying it. This is going to change the NFL. You know, NFL contracts were a joke, basically, because they're not guaranteed. So you can sign a guy for 10 years, $400 million, only the guaranteed portion of it is what you got to worry about, and you spread that out. And now that's all guaranteed. So think about, you know, the Carson Wentz of the world 2 or 3 years from now when he's going for a second contract. You know, you think he's taking less than a fully guaranteed $100 million contract?
Jesus Christ, dude, I don't even want to think about it. He may be the first $35 million quarterback.
Think about it. If you're the rest of the owners in the NFL, now I understand it from a Viking standpoint. They looked at it like they think they're a quarterback away. And they have a really good defense. They can run the football. They got good receivers. To Mike's point, they may have to make some adjustments because I don't know if they have enough money to operate. But let's say, let's say they keep everybody. They think they're one quarterback away, and they're going for it right now because you're right, they turn over. But if you're the rest of the NFL, you're going, are you out of your mind? Think about when guys like Odell Beckham, or let's say Odell Beckham has a great year this year. He's a saint. You don't think he's going to want a fully guaranteed contract, and now he's going to hold out for it? Carson Wentz in a couple years. Jared Goff in a couple years. I mean, think about the ramifications of this. You know, there's a guy who has a 4-19 record against good teams, and he got an $84 million fully guaranteed contract. Yeah, the ripple effects going through the NFL right now people are he's Ziggy Wolf is going to be blackballed at the NFL, at the owners' meetings.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I really do on that one, Tom. I think that he should have thought twice about that, but I guess when you have a guy that you have a chance to get and you
right.
want him, you're going to do everything you can to get him, and that's what it seems as though that Minnesota did. Evidently, they have a plan sticking with it, and that includes Kirk Cousins, and they're hoping that he delivers.
But, you know, Jeff, if that's Tom Brady, if you told me, hey, Tom, the Vikings just signed Drew Brees for 3 years, $75 million guaranteed. I can get it through my head because he's got a resume. He's done it. He's won a Super Bowl. You know, even though he's 40 years old, I kind of get it. The problem I have with Cousins is this guy is – we don't know what he is. He played on a bad team, put up some decent numbers, but everybody's putting up decent numbers. What if he fails? You're screwed.
Yeah, you are screwed. You are screwed. And but I mean, you know what, Tom? You got to think of it this way. We've talked about this before. The quarterbacks that we were calling elite a year or two ago are all now getting older, and
yeah.
it's just a matter of time before they retire. And somebody like Kirk Cousins may end up being one of the league's elite quarterbacks by default.
Well,
he may end up being better than what's out there in the NFL now.
But
and I mean, it sounds.
Hold on. Will he be elite or will he just be the best by default?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He may end up being the best by default.
Okay, that I agree with.
You know, and then by the standard of the day, whenever that may be, he may end up being considered the elite of the NFL at the time.
I guess if you lower the standard, yeah, I mean, right now, you know, I guess you have to put Brady and Brees at the top of the list with Aaron Rodgers. And then after that, I guess it's Wentz. Maybe Roethlisberger. I guess we could put Roethlisberger in that mix. Anybody else
want to put that in that
mix? I mean,
I feel comfortable with Roethlisberger in that mix. Yes.
Yeah. So then after that, you got Stafford. You got Matt Ryan. I would put them on a level below. And I'm not necessarily putting Carson Wentz in the elite category, but I think the way he played this year, you got to put him up there. I mean, but. You know, Derek Carr's in that next tier of guys. You know, but think about it. 2 years from now, you probably don't have Roethlisberger, Brady, and Brees. They're all gone.
Yeah, you would think, yeah. And it may, like I said,
maybe.
That puts certain guys in that category by default because who else is there? Where's the competition? Who's the competition?
Yeah, it's I understand it from the Viking standpoint because they're going for it. Like you said, teams turn over 2 or 3, 4 years. Your roster is completely different. So they're going for it while they're there. But the problem is they've set the precedent for the rest of the other 31 teams, and you probably change football for the next 4 or 5 years. The only way it doesn't happen, and you'd have to if you're the other teams, you either have to hope he's very, very bad or probably you have to hope he gets hurt. So you could say, I can't do this because of that. But if he goes out and plays semi-well, doesn't even have to be great to win. All he's got to do is play semi-well. If he does that, he's changed football like nobody since Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah. Financially, he'll change it. He's not going to change the game.
No, not on the field. But he'll change the game, how it's dealt with off the field.
Yeah, I agree.
I was not – surprised by the numbers. I was just surprised by the guarantee.
Yeah, we knew the number was going to be big. Everybody
Correct.
Knew.
Sure. Yeah.
But like you're just saying, I agree with you. To guarantee that number is you know, that takes a lot of balls, man. And you're thinking that your team, you're maybe hoping a lot of different things. You're maybe hoping for some hometown discounts from some of these guys.
Yeah.
Maybe you're hoping that some of these guys are going to want to stay with your team and your organization because they're going to be like, wow, you know, this is going to be good. We got a great quarterback and everything else. And I understand what you say when you turn around and say that, you know, he hasn't proven anything. I could agree with that to an extent. I think a lot of people are hard on him because of, of who he is and everything. But here's his chance to prove everybody wrong and to, you know, show what he's got in him. And let's see what happens. Because it's going to be something else, man. It really is.
You know what, Jeff? If he goes out and plays, gets them, even just gets into the playoffs for 3 years, think about his next contract. I mean, think about it. If he goes out and gets them to the playoffs, maybe let's say I'm going to just throw a fit. Tell me what his next contract is. 3 years, one Super Bowl appearance. It's a loss. 3 years in the playoffs, two deep runs. What's his next contract? 33-year-old quarterback.
Dude, a quarterback still in his prime.
Yeah.
If he's throwing for close to 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns plus a season with half that of interceptions, like 10 to 15 interceptions a year, he could be getting $150 million for 3 years with maybe 120 of it guaranteed.
Think about that. Here's a guy who came in, was a backup to a Heisman Trophy winner in Griffin, and was an afterthought. And right now, in the last 3 years, I think he got $20 million, $24 million, and $27 million. So his, and that's just on his last 3 years. On his first couple years, he got more than that. So let's say he had a $40 million contract when he started. Not, I don't even say it. Let's say 10. He's made almost $90 million already. Plus this deal, he's at $180 million in money earned. He's 30 years old. By the time his contract's over, he'll have $180 million worth with still probably 5 to 7 years of play left. Think about that for a guy who hasn't done anything so far in his career.
Yeah, it's pretty sick, dude. It really is. It's, I mean, what more could you say? It's unbelievable. Unbelievable, the money. But I really think, and me and you have brought this up so many times before, I think that these quarterbacks are going to cost so much money within a year or so, even more so more what they're paying Cousins now, that teams are going to have to switch strategy and develop a more than solid running game so that they can save a little money and have a quarterback who's a game manager more so than an elite quarterback.
But you're paying Cousins. Think about it, Jeff. I mean, theoretically, Cousins right now hasn't been much more than that. I mean, he's not Josh McCown. He's not Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's not, you know, some of those guys. So, yeah, maybe he's a little above a game manager. But you're already paying secondary guys $30 million a year. What I mean, Sam Bradford can't stay in the field. He's making $20
million. Yeah. I hear you.
That you're 100% right. The right way to do this is to pay the, you know, I'm trying to, like, the Nick Foles of the world, $15 million a year, and go get a great running game and good receivers around them. But that hasn't happened. It hasn't proven to be a winning thing consistently. So I think that right now, I don't know what the upside is. Like, what? Where is the stopping point for quarterback play? I don't see it yet. I think somebody, probably not to Wentz, but somebody gets $35, $40 million a year before it bottoms out.
You're probably right, but let me ask you something. Let's do a quick hypothetical, okay? And let's say that you're drafting and you signed. I'm going to use some old names here because we know what they are as we use them. Let's say that you just picked up Chad Pennington. He's in his fourth year. You were able to get him from a trade from whatever team he was on. Okay, a solid game manager, not a strong arm, but a smart quarterback, a good quarterback, not great. And now you got the third pick in the draft, and it's your turn to pick. And now you're staring at Adrian Peterson. Okay? You already have Larry Fitzgerald on your team. Now you're staring at Adrian Peterson, okay? You don't have a great quarterback. You got a good, more than good quarterback, serviceable. You have a great wide receiver. And now here's your chance to get a 2,000-yard-a-year running back. You wouldn't put that on your team and field that team?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I want the Giants to draft Saquon Barkley this year. I don't want to draft a quarterback. I want Barkley. I've completely gone over to the far side that I want to build my team around a solid, better than solid running back with a good, solid quarterback. Doesn't have to be elite. Doesn't have to be great. And a really, really top-flight defense. That's what I want to build my team around, like old school. Go get me that running back that can make the difference.
The only way that the Giants or any other team are going to get Saquon Barkley, in my opinion, is if whoever goes up there for the draft pick for Cleveland has a stroke as he's about to announce the name and says the wrong name. Because Cleveland now with Tyrod Taylor, there's no reason to me why they shouldn't take Barkley with the first pick, and then they still have the fourth pick to grab their quarterback. Because even if the second and third and the second and third picks in the first round take a quarterback, they're still going to have two to choose from.
Again, I agree wholeheartedly, unless there's one quarterback you want better than everybody else. That's, you know, like most people don't like Rosen or Mayfield. People love Josh Allen, but he's not ready. The one guy everybody thinks is ready and is a pro is Darnold. I'm not sold on any of them as being a pro right now. So if you're Cleveland, your theory only works if you like two of the quarterbacks at least.
Yeah, but you know what, Tom? They do have Tyrod Taylor, and I'm not saying that he's the greatest quarterback in the league by far, but he's more than serviceable. He has a low interception rate and low turnover rate that if you had to hold on to him for two or three seasons, he's still young enough to do that, and you can maybe see another possible quarterback market unfold. So, I mean, Cleveland, as a matter of fact, I don't know if you read this, their left tackle decided to retire today.
Yeah, Joe Thomas retired, yeah.
Yeah, so who knows? Now maybe they pick Barkley in the first round, and they take a lineman in the fourth pick of that round.
Yeah, I tell you the truth. If I were them, I would think about doing that. I would take Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame. He's the best lineman in the draft. And take Barkley. But again, if the only way that it doesn't work and they take it is if you feel that one of these guys is the quarterback. If I don't. I've watched YouTube videos on all these guys. I think there's downsides to all of them. I think they all I think they all have some upsides where if you can let them sit on your bench and play in a couple of years, I think you got something there. But if you're picking in the top three, four, five guys, you have to take a no-brainer. You have to take a guy who no matter what, you can't take a maybe. So if the no-brainer is Barkley, you take. If the no-brainer is the guard out of Notre Dame or defensive player, in the top five picks, Jeff, you have to take. You can't take a flyer on a guy who might be good. You know, you say it all the time. You take a bad pick there, you set your team back 2 years.
Of course. But, you know, the sad part is, I mean, I know that they gave up a few of their draft picks, but because they pick so consistently high, their picks that they have left are still good, solid picks. They could turn around and package their fourth pick of the first round, or maybe something in the second round or first round next year, and even move up to number two in the draft themselves. You just don't know what they could offer and what they may offer.
I agree. Like I said, for me, if you're the Browns, the Giants, and the Colts, if there's a guy there that you think is a lockdown, probable Hall of Famer, or having a guy who's going to have a 10-year career, you got to take him there. And again, if you're the Browns, you got to come out of there with a quarterback out of one of those two picks. I know they took Taylor, but one of those two picks has got to be a quarterback, and it's got to be a guy that you know can lead you for the next few years, because Tyrod Taylor is not the answer. We both know he's a stopgap guy. If you get a guy that, you know, start the season out, training camp, be your guy, agreed. But if you're Cleveland, one of those two picks has to be a quarterback of your future. Has to be. I have to do it.
Well, you know, I agree with you, Tom, and I hear you loud and clear. But you know what? You're also talking about Cleveland.
And yeah, I agree.
This is a team that has had, 30 quarterbacks in the last 13, 14 years or whatever it is. So you just don't know what they're going to do.
I listen, they could easily trade down out of their number one spot. If you, again, if you don't have a guy you want to take at that point, you can trade down. I mean, I think they're more likely to trade the number four pick down. I think a good spot is with the Jets. I think I can see the Jets moving up to that spot. I could see – I know Denver is still looking to get a quarterback, a young quarterback in the draft. I can see Denver get moving up even further. So there's a lot of teams that can move up. I just don't know. You know, Cleveland is the key. What do they do? I still think they take Darnold and the Giants get Barkley, and then I think the Colts go defense – but I guess we'll see how it plays out in a couple of weeks. We're going to have some fun on our draft show. That's going to be a lot of fun sitting on the air and analyzing the draft as it comes up. But so far, special edition of Hard Rock and Sports has been a lot of fun. We'll do another 5 minutes of this talk. I think the big talk tonight has been Kirk Cousins and his guaranteed contract. And but here's the thing, Jeff. You know, it's amazing how it's changed football in the last 20 years. You know, the amount of big names released – this early is really crazy, don't you think?
It is, Tom, but you know what? They're kind of doing those guys a favor, these bigger name players, a big favor, releasing them before the draft, at the start of free agency. That helps a lot of these guys. It opens up a lot of opportunities for a lot of other teams who have picks where they maybe wouldn't be able to pick like a defensive lineman where they would want to. So now they have several options available to them. So it with all of these guys getting released, it's a big thing, man. It really is.
Yeah. No, in the old days, you know, guys would get released after in or after training camp, you know, and they would have to fight for a spot last minute on another team. You know, now these guys are getting – I mean, guys like, you know, the Honey Badger from Arizona. I mean, there's a guy who's still probably in his prime, one of the best defensive backs in football. And he's gone. I mean, Sheldon Richardson. I mean, Ndamukong Suh still in his prime. I mean, there's a lot of guys, excuse me, who are moving, and just, you know, you would never have seen this 20 years ago. You didn't see guys like that get released. But it's a
huge NFL. I don't think you've seen this 5 to 10 years ago. Never mind 20 years ago.
You know what? You're probably right, because you know what? I mean, just the way it's being handled. I mean, the NFL and network is basically 24 hours of free agents, and you go to the websites, and it's just constant movement of who's going where and who's moving. I always thought free agency was the devil when it comes to football, because, you know, years ago teams stayed together for a long time, and you kept your talent for 5 or 7 or 8 or 9 years. You know, now you're lucky if you keep guys through their first contract, you know, and a lot of these guys are stars early. I mean, look at Sheldon Richardson and Mo Wilkerson. 3 years ago, they were on a team together where people called them the best line in football, and two of them are gone already.
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy.
Three of them. Harrison got released last year or the year before, and then those two guys have been gone over the last 2 years now. It's really a strange NFL, and NFL and free agency is really crazy. But I don't even think it's reached its peak. I mean, just so many different. I mean, Carlos Hyde just signed the contract with the Browns to leave the 49ers. The 49ers got Jerick McKinnon, and just signing people left and right. I mean, so many players move, and Joe Thomas retires. You know, Jeff, tomorrow night's show is going to be a big one. We're going to get to a big block of football tomorrow night. I don't think there's much else to talk about this week than all these things. I want to get into the Browns and all the trades they make, the Bills moving up in the draft and trading picks. Just signing AJ McCarron, I think, which is a nice move. AJ's, I think, going to be a good quarterback there. A lot of stuff to talk about tomorrow night for 3.5 hours.
Well, you know what, Tom? I know that we're going to be leaving the air real quick. But before we go, I got one other thing I want to talk about. It'll take 5 minutes, and then we could call it a night and wait till tomorrow. And that is the new terms that have been coming up in football. And a couple years ago, it was the elite quarterback. You had to have an elite quarterback. Then after that, it was the edge rusher, whether it was a linebacker or a defensive end. You know, they had these terminologies for things that they needed. And you know, like that, every team had to have one. This year's and last year's terminology has been so far the bridge quarterback.
Oh, wow, good one. Really good, yeah.
Why do you think every year they seem to have, like, a new need or a new how could you put it, like a new thing to focus on? Every year it's something different. What is it next year? The short-handed receiver? Shutdown corner?
Yes, yeah. Copycat, Jeff. You said it. You always say you always the football is a copycat league. So now everybody sees. Well, the Vikings had three bridge quarterbacks. They went. Yeah, they had Bridgewater. Then they got Sam Bradford to bridge the gap till he got back. And then the Jets signed McCown as a bridge to Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg. That's the new term, and you're right. It's a copycat league, and it's called trends. And the trend right now is to have a veteran low cost quarterback that will get you to your young inexpensive quarterback.
Yeah, and I love how the NFL, I don't know who sits there and comes up with these terminologies and comes up with this stuff and thinks this stuff up, but I love how they every year it's something different, and I want to see what it evolves to next year. And it always seems to be the big thing. And even 5 years ago, 3 years ago, I don't ever remember hearing the terminology bridge quarterback.
No,
you know,
nobody
did. Stopgap quarterback, bridge quarterback. It was you were looking for your quarterback.
You were looking for your elite quarterback. You wanted your elite quarterback.
You wanted the elite quarterback. And you never heard of a team saying, well, we're just going to take this guy because he's okay now and he's a good teammate. And hopefully he'll be able to help the rookie out. Josh McCown, who is a journeyman quarterback and has never had real much sustained success anyplace, has now been looked upon as almost a savior for the Jets simply because he's experienced. And they want somebody else to learn from him. What could they learn from somebody who has the record and the stats that Josh McCown has?
Great point. It's a great point. You're asking a guy who hasn't even had a good career himself to teach somebody else to have a good career.
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, that's like asking Fred Stanley from the Yankees to be the home run coach for this year's version, for this year's team.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. You're asking a guy who's not really done it in his own career to teach somebody else how to do it. It's just it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But that's, you know, what happens is I think with a guy like Fitzpatrick a couple years ago, like McCown last year, some of these guys have come in, had decent years, and they've been the bridge quarterback to the younger guy. Let the guy sit on the bench. You know, a few years ago it was how fast can you get your guy in the field? I mean, think about it. Eli Manning's on the field his rookie year. Roethlisberger's on his field his rookie year. You know, most of these guys get on the field back then in their rookie years. Now they want these guys to sit for a year or two with the bridge quarterback. You know, I think it's a great conversation, Jeff, and one I want you to probably ask them on it when people call in to see what their thoughts are. But before we wrap this up, I want to ask you one thing. Before last season, you were completely down on your Jets. In fact, you disavowed your fandom and you went to root for the Cowboys, even though that didn't last very long either. How do you feel about your Jets right now?
I couldn't break away last year. I couldn't do it. It lasted a couple minutes, and that was it.
Yeah. How do you feel about the Jets right now?
I feel that they're going in the right direction. And that question that I asked you and Mike earlier, that does the roster movement heading in the right direction with a better roster, some younger up-and-coming players, I think it's going to buy Maccagnan and Bowles some time. I personally really do. I think that if they're allowed to carry through their plan, that you may see something good come from the Jets. I'm not saying a Super Bowl. I said it several times, 2019. I think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender in the AFC simply because some other teams are going to drop out of that role, namely New England and Pittsburgh. And I think you're going to see a new crop of teams coming up, and I think the Jets are going to be at the forefront if everything works out. If they have a good, solid draft this year, I see no reason why they can't be a playoff contender. And in 2019, you know, it's the division, baby. Let's go. We're going to go get it.
It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of players still out there. Sue, Jeremy Maclin still out there. Jordy Nelson's an interesting one, got released. You know, a lot of guys still looking for homes right now. DeMarco Murray, Frank Gore, Jordy Nelson, Tyler Eifert, Sheldon Richardson, Dontari Poe. A lot of guys still looking for homes out there, Jeff. And tomorrow night we're gonna update this even more. We're gonna talk more about the Giants and their signings. Nate Solder, I love it. Not a star. 7 years in the league, no Pro Bowls, but a good player. So we'll get to the Jets, the Giants, and the entire league, and we'll break it all down for you tomorrow night. We also have Stevie Shred will be on our show tomorrow night. Red Rain's guitar play will pop in about 7:30. Talk about being on the road with Silk 9 and Dokken. Talk about the new song Red Rain coming out on video. And all things Red Rain tomorrow night. So we'll look forward to having Sammy on. They're after playing tonight in Warrendale, PA. But coming tomorrow night, regular time, 6:30 to 9:30, Hard Rock and Sports. Jeff and I will be back with all of this and so much more, because I guarantee there's going to be still a lot of stuff to get through tonight. Jeff, just so you know, I printed out the 101 top free agents, and we're going to go through as many of them as possible tomorrow night. Who signed, who didn't sign, who's still out there. Make sure you get your rest tomorrow, my friend. We got a lot to do.
You know, Tom, I'm happy that you got that list, because tomorrow night I want to see how many people are actually still on that list.
Absolutely. Great question. Free agents. Yeah. Day two of free agency. Let's see how many people left of the 101 free agents out there. I guarantee you 60% of them are gone as of tomorrow. But we'll get to it tomorrow night.
I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't be surprised if that list is almost half of what it is now.
Oh, absolutely. I would agree. I'm watching the board now, and so many guys are tight end. Darren Fells just signed. Chase Daniels, quarterback, just signed. Mike Lennon's out there, just got signed to a deal. There are people signing every time. Titans re-signed. Josh Klein. So many guys out there, Jeff. We'll get to all of them. I'll do my research in a day, but tomorrow night, 6:30 to 9:30, come on back. Let's do this again for a while. Let's have some fun. Hopefully you guys will come back and you'll listen in. Jeff, great job, man. An hour and 15 minutes went quick.
Yeah, dude, I think this was a special bulletin, like when they have these storms and disasters. This was a Hard Rock and Sports special bulletin, and it had to be done. It had to be done.
Yeah, let's keep an ear open tonight, Jeff, and tomorrow for any comments by other owners on the Kirk Cousins deal. I'm curious to see if anybody comes out against it.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty that are going to come out against this, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. But, Jeff, tomorrow night, 6:30, I'll see you back on the air. Great job. Thanks for carving out a little time to come on the air with me.
Tom, always have time for that, man. It was fun. And, you know, it was Wednesday, and Wednesday is Red Rum practice.
We know how that goes. But, Jeff, even though it's a special edition show, we still got to close it up a certain way. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, listen, wasn't it last week we ended up getting rooked before it went on? So hurry up and get it done.
Here it goes, guys. We'll see you tomorrow night, 6:30, 9:30, Hard Rocket Sports. Check out the website, hardrocketsports.com. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, you follow us on Twitter and Instagram. But, guys, enjoy your night. But, you know, the show's not over till you hear this.
Stage is that moose, you know.
So when you're playing, you feel like a preserved moose on stage.
Yeah.
Yep. So, guys, come on back. If you're a Giant fan, especially, come on back. I got a lot of stuff to talk about tomorrow night. Stewart, Solder, the cornerback from the Panthers. Lots of stuff to talk about if you're a New York football fan. Jets, Giants. Lots to get to. We'll see you tomorrow night at 6:30, Jeff.
All right, dude. I will be waiting and on. I'm just going to put me on hold and leave me here until 6:30 tomorrow.
You got it. Keep the phone handy. Make sure you keep the charger in. Jeff, I'll talk to you during the day tomorrow. Great job, everybody. Have a good night. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
Later, man.
Later.
Bye.